All right, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission meeting of Wednesday, April 12th, 2023, called to order at 12:02 p.m. And do you want to go ahead and give the opening statement, please?
Yes. This meeting is being held virtually due to COVID-19 to allow for social distancing and to protect the public health. As we continue our efforts in meeting remotely, we ask all commissioners and guests to mute yourselves until called upon to speak to avoid any feedback and background noise. For those who have dialed in using the call-in number, to unmute to speak, dial *6 on your phone. Also, prior to speaking, please announce who you are to identify yourself. As a reminder, this meeting is being recorded. We ask that you only use the chat function to request to speak to announce that you are leaving the meeting so we can keep track of quorum. Also, in order to comply with the state open meeting law, attendance and votes will be done by way of using audio, not by using the chat function. Thank you. And I'm ready for a roll call if you guys are.
Okay, let me just go ahead. Item one is, I've already called the meeting to order, so go ahead with roll call, please.
Alice Sandagi?
Here.
Carlos Lozano?
Here.
Carol Griffith?
Griffith. Carol, here. Are you here?
Carol?
Yes, here.
Jeffrey Alwan?
Present.
Helen Erickson?
Here.
Jan Mulder?
Here.
Jennifer Lestick? JJ Lamb?
Here.
Ken Scoville?
Here.
Peter Steer? Ricky Riojas? Sandy Ricky, Brook?
I'm sorry, is Ricky, are you here? Here. So you Sandy have Ricky Brook. As no? You have Ricky as no, correct, Amari?
Yes.
Okay, and Sandy did say she was here, but let us know again, Sandy. Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Savannah McDonald?
Here.
Stephen Grady?
Here.
Mary Majewski?
Here.
Tim Haggard? And I accidentally skipped over Joel Ireland.
Here.
And wasn't Ricky getting from a phone to a computer?
Yeah, but
that's
she's
what
not
she said, but.
She's not back
on
yet.
I have 13.
Terry, do we have to announce when we have bandwidth issues, or will it be self-evident when we go off camera?
Well, I guess, I mean, there's no way you can even, can they raise their hand, Amari? Or is there anything that we can do so that we're not constantly interrupting the meeting?
Or use the chat, or?
We can't use the chat. They've disabled it.
Okay. Well, if we go off camera, you'll know what it is.
Okay.
I just struggle with bandwidth in midday.
Yeah, okay. And we want to be able to be sure that to be inclusive so that everyone can participate comfortably. Okay, so let's go. Let's watch for Ricky to join, and let's go ahead and move to item two, which is approval of the TPCHC minutes from the meeting of 3/8/23, and I would entertain a motion to submit or to approve as submitted. Who would like to move?
This is Steve Grady. I'll move to approve as submitted.
Okay, and who will second?
This is Ken. Ken, I'll second.
Thank you, Ken. Is there any discussion? Okay, if not, let's go ahead and call the roll on that, please.
Alice Sandagi?
Aye.
Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Carol Griffith?
Aye.
Jeffrey Alwan?
Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
Jan Mulder?
Aye.
Jennifer Lovestick?
Aye.
JJ Lamb?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Aye.
Ken Scholeyville?
Aye.
Peter Steer? Ricky Riojas?
Aye.
Sandy Burke?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Stephen Greedy?
Aye.
Carrie Majewski?
Aye.
And Tim Hygaard?
He's not here. It passes, yes?
Yes. I have 14-0. I'm not sure what you have.
I missed something in between, but I'll listen on the recording. I'm sure it'll be correct. Do we know when Jennifer Lovestick arrived and when Ricky got back on? No,
I got on at 12:07.
Ricky, you got on at 12:07. And how about Jennifer? Jen?
I thought it was like 12:05 or something.
Okay. Is that jive with what you have, Omari?
Yes.
12:05. Okay. Thank you, everyone. All right. Let's move on quickly to item 3, chairperson summary of current events. I just have two things I wanted to mention. I sent all of you an email last night. One of the items was an obituary for Patricia Waterfall, Patsy Waterfall. I don't know if some of you knew her when she was on the commission or knew her from the community, but she was a longtime member of the commission, an award-winning historical architect. She was one of the founding members of the Historic Landscape Subcommittee. She served on many subcommittees, including Plans Review, the Awards Subcommittee, and other things, and she was just a wonderful addition to the commission and exemplified what service to the community is. Helen, did you want to say anything else about her?
Yes, I would like to make a motion that we include our regrets at her passing and our commemoration of her great service to the community. If it's possible to do a recommendation here.
Right, yeah. Did you want to make that or just say that that's a motion?
I would say that's a motion.
And then I can
second.
Okay, so
this is Sandy.
Okay, hold on. I've got Helen and Sandy seconding, and I can just gloss that motion when I review things, and also I'm planning on attending her service, and I can also mention to her family that the commission sends their regrets and so on. Okay, so let's go ahead and call the roll on that motion, please.
Ellis Sandagi?
Aye.
Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Carol Griffin?
Aye.
Jeffrey Alwan?
Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
Jan Mulder?
Aye.
Jennifer Lovestick?
Aye.
JJ Lamb?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Aye.
Ken Scholeyville?
Aye.
Ricky Riojas?
Aye.
Sandy Brooke?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Stephen Greedy?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Hager.
Tim Hager, okay. It passes 15-0.
Okay. So do we have someone add since the motion under item 2? Because you said you had 14-0. We can check that. Let's not worry about it right now.
Yeah, we can double check later. And then remember, if you have a camera, please have it on.
Okay. So the other thing I wanted to mention was that I sent a letter that we had to send out because of action being possibly taking today, but Carlos, Commissioner Lozano, and I will report more on that during the Transportation Subcommittee report. Okay, I'll move on to item 4, and that's recently posted subcommittee minutes. You can access posted minutes at the link provided if you wish to read them. Item 5 is removal appointments to commission subcommittees. And I just wanted to mention that we may have to activate the awards subcommittee and for some brief work. I mean, it's not like we deactivated it, but I've got Carol Griffith, Tim Hager, Jennifer Levstick, myself, and Ricky Riojas. Do you all agree to just continue to serve? I don't think we need to do a motion, but I need to know if we – if we do need to get something done.
Yes, Carol? I agree.
Carol, you're okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Carol's okay. Jennifer and Ricky?
I don't have the bandwidth to be on that right now, unfortunately.
So we can do it with 4. Do we need to... how about instead of taking the time to do a motion, just don't attend if we have a meeting and we can get you off in the next meeting. Okay. it's just too much.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll just say that I mentioned awards subcommittee. Okay. Let's start with, item 6, reports from city and county staff. 6A is City of Tucson. Michael, I think you are the only one on from the city, Michael Taku. Could you provide a report?
Yes, Madam Chair. I'm sitting in today for Jody. For this particular item, we do not have a report to present. There's no update for us to give on this particular item, but I'll be updating you on the other items that we have down on the agenda.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Item 6B. With Pima County Cultural Resources Department, Linda, Courtney, Scott, I see several of you on. So who would like to begin? And Ian, hello.
I'll start. Good afternoon, everyone. As you know, we've had a number of grants in the mix for a long time, and some of these are starting to get approved so that we can move forward. So Juan Santa Cruz picnic area is scheduled for PRS courtesy review tomorrow. Ian Milliken will be presenting there. The Ajo Curly School Gymnasium was tabled for a long time because there was not sufficient funding. It's back and coming on board again, and so we will be bringing that forward to PRS for a courtesy review. Mission Garden, the Senator Sinema's earmark for that project, it's not in design yet. That will be scheduled in the future. Fort Lowell, we're still working with the city on how to get a design contractor on board and who will be heading that project up. So that's a future project for you to review. We also have the Hemel Park Library. It's not a contributing property to the Sam Hughes District, but it is it's within the district. So again, that's future. And then Teatro Carmen will be brought to you periodically. I do have some good news on the Western Area Power and TEP potential effects or impacts to Tumamoc Hill. We had a meeting this morning with Western Area Power and the consulting parties regarding yet another alignment that moves virtually all of the new Western Area Power Line off of the county property and the National Historic Landmark. So that's still not designed yet, but it's looking better, so there will be fewer impacts. And then Ian will speak to you briefly. You're on the call, I believe, Ian, about the Titan Missile Museum.
Hi, thanks. So just as an update, and I think we had mentioned this before, the Air Force, who's owned the Titan Missile Museum since it was in effect, and then afterwards we've worked in an agreement with the county for many, many years of maintaining this as a tourist attraction that is managed by the Pima Air and Space Museum. You know, 2 years ago, they determined this as surplus property and were look and approached the county about actually granting the property over to the county. And so it's moved through the processes, and now we're in the final stages of preparing the consultation letter that will go out to SHPO and other interested parties to proceed with the transfer of the property. We expect it to happen this year. We're very excited about it. And OSC has been actually tasked with a covenant on the property, so that it typically these covenants would go to SHPO or a third party. But because of the policies and procedures that we have in place at the county, the GSA felt very comfortable with having our department be the kind of eye in the sky, if you will, to all county operations to ensure that we maintain it as a National Historic Landmark. And so we're very excited about that, and so we will continue to update you as that process moves forward.
So, Courtney or Scott, do you have anything else to add?
I don't have any updates today. Thank you.
Okay. Scott?
I don't either. Thank you.
Okay. That's all we have. Thank you.
Great. Are there questions, commissioners? No. Okay, well, thank you very much, all of you, and we appreciate you being on, and we'll see some of you on Plans Review tomorrow. Okay, let's move on to 6C. Tucson Department of Transportation and Mobility, is Ms. Tuthaker on today? Hi.
Hi, everyone. It's a group of us. In
great.
Person.
Tell me who you have with you.
Thank you. Yes, we'll do. So again, for everybody, I'm Jen Tuthaker. I oversee our planning team at the Transportation and Mobility Department. I'm joined today by our new CA liaison, who is taking the place of Christopher Blue, who will be our staff liaison working with the commission here. Jorge Castillo, would you like to say something?
I'm glad to be here.
We're 1 week in, and he's still coming back, so we're very excited to have him on board. Jorge and I will be doing a co-presentation next month on the transportation update. I'm also joined here by Patrick Hartley, who is our planning manager for our Complete Streets program, as well as our project prioritization and selection. He also is a project manager, and he has a couple of updates that we can share and we'll also share next month.
So
go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Jen. Yeah, there are a couple things that we're just advancing that I thought might be of interest to the commission. We've, I think, presented on some of these items in the past, so I just wanted to kind of close the loop on them and give you an update. We recently got approval and agreement from the Regional Transportation Authority to advance the four-lane alternative on First Avenue. If you recall, we were discussing both the six-lane widening project option and the four-lane alternative. Tucson's Mayor and Council had previously voted to support and advanced only the four-lane option, so a modernization safety project as opposed to a widening project. At the last RTA board meeting, there was an agreement established with the RTA, so we'll be looking to advance that project and probably get a designer on board to begin some preliminary work this summer. At least advertise this summer and hope to have somebody on board by the end of this calendar year, I should say. During that same time period, we'll be looking to establish a citizens advisory committee who will be our go-to for design concerns consideration as we look to approve the project. The second project we want to provide an update on is we are also advancing the Drexel Road Bridge project. So this is one that we have identified design funding for, and our intention with this is to basically, you know, close that span at Drexel, at Santa Cruz, over the Santa Cruz River, as a two-lane roadway or a new two-lane bridge. And our intention is to really go through the federal design process and do the EA clearances for that, but it will be locally funded. The reason we are basically treating it like a federal project, even though it's receiving local funds at this point, is because we recognize that this is a strong candidate and one we would want to bring forth for potential future federal grant opportunities. So we want to make sure it's fully shovel ready and ready to go, so therefore we'll be going through the full EA process typical of a federally funded project. We are looking to initiate that, probably finalizing the contract in the next couple of weeks and getting a design firm on board, and we'll be moving that quickly. We're looking at about an 18-month design phase for that, 18 to 24 months. No funding at this time has been identified for construction, but we want to leave our options open potentially for those federal funds. Another avenue could be pursuing RTA dollars. It continues to be a strong candidate in the RTMX plan that's underway. But we want to have all options on the table.
So that concludes our transportation update. If there are any questions that we can help.
Okay, I think Carlos has his hand up. Go ahead, Carlos. Carlos, you're on mute.
Okay, sorry about that. Hi, everybody. I just had a quick question on the 5th Street, 6th Street road diet. I know that's in a comment period, but is that going to go through? I mean, we like that. We like that project. And is that a done deal, or does the comment period mean that it might not happen? And then if it might not happen, would it help for the commission to write a letter of support on that?
Right now, the road diet, as it had started out as a public process to gain some information from the community about how that would be received by the community, basically, we hit a point where the determination was made for the part that is a road pavement improvement project. So from Wilmot to roughly there will be a pilot road diet that will be put in place. This is all still in the works. There is another component to that 5th, 6th stretch, which is a Prop 407 or a Tucson Deliver Stronger Connections project. That's a pedestrian and walkability improvement project. That's really back of curb, and that is from Campbell to Country Club. And that project is starting out with an outreach phase right now as well. They were going to be done together, and right now, because of the challenges with timing, we're moving them each in their individual design phases and construction phases forward. Tucson Water also has a water main project that's impacting the same area. So it got complex. We tried to do it all together, and it was just too challenging.
And then do you think that a letter of support from the Historical Commission would help anything, or I'll just leave it there.
You know, I do think that we're always open to hearing from the commission in this project in particular. I guess the areas that I know you speak to often, as it relates also like to the First Avenue conversation, is any time that we're making these choices to do better roadway design within the footprint that we have, those are always great options, reducing the impacts back of curb to historic buildings and properties and districts. So absolutely, that's something we would welcome. I think it's still moving forward on its own steam, so I don't know that we need help or encouragement. I will say this, the part that's a pilot road diet going into place now it is a future roadway improvement, but pavement project that in the next couple of years, there will be another intentional work on the pavement in that area. So it might be more important to keep track of this road diet as it's happening. And then at the point of time that that project is getting started, we would like to hear back how the community has experienced that road diet and if that is something to keep in place. So there is an opportunity now, but also into the future where weighing in would be very helpful.
Okay, well, yeah, well, I guess we'll just let it go for now. But one thing is I was making an assumption that there would be no like acquisitions involved in a project that reduces the road, but am I wrong or could there be acquisitions?
No. And I apologize. Yeah, I only made the likeness to the First Avenue because the talking points really connected to First Avenue relate to any roadway work that we're doing. Really, they relate the projects. The pavement improvement is not going to require any acquisition of any sort or demolition.
Okay, well then maybe I'll just submit my own comment, and then we'll keep, like you say, we'll keep an eye on the project. Thanks, and welcome, Jorge.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. Could we have Ken? You're on mute, Ken.
Hi, Jennifer and your group. Two questions. First of all, in Stone Avenue Underpass, some new land has been created with the realignment. And given that that's a gateway to downtown, have any plans or what is current thoughts with that newly created land?
Great question, Ken. I don't have the answer to that, but let me find out from the team. And what kind of thoughts are you thinking? And maybe we can do an offline conversation as well on that.
Sure. I'm just wide open. I don't know if there's enough parcels or utilities there that the city's thinking of selling that for development, or it would seem to be a wonderful place to do a gateway art project. If it's not going to be sold off for development, to something that maybe has a multiple textures, you could have some of it would be adobe, some of the masonry that could be a transition of all the different building materials you might see downtown within an art project, something that would be a nice gateway statement for people coming into downtown.
Thanks just, for elaborating just on that. Yeah. I'll let me inquire and I can send some information out to follow up on this.
And the second thing is on First Avenue, and happy to hear the four lane, yes, is going through. Have you noticed that at the northeast corner of Fort Wall and First Avenue, one of the buildings from the shopping center is still standing? And when they were doing the demolition, and Carlos and I, we talked and found out that the developer, which I'm assuming right now is going to be apartments there, retained that building. Just north of that building is one of the good old days of dumping the water into the street for the flood control. And I think there's a really nice project to be conceived there, what I guess in the old days we call a demonstration project, where you take the Boondocks, which is an historic building. I don't know if the owner would want to list it or not. But trying to do a nicer landscape, little park area there that would also have a water retention or whatever has to be done with that water situation. And then working with the developer to encourage them to maybe have part of that building front onto the re-landscape, redesign there. So you could have an interesting project of historic preservation, flood control, and then working with the existing development. So that's the other thing I just sort of wanted to get out there today.
Great. Thanks. Those are wonderful suggestions. We know that we're going to have some interesting and difficult decisions to make at that Navajo Wash crossing. That dip crossing there right now, one of the challenges that we've been well aware of as we advance this project is we're going to have to address that drainage somehow, and looking at that next to the Boondocks is a part of that. We've already started some initial discussions with flood control.
Right, and with that new, with the developer, the property, the shopping center, retaining that building, that could be an interesting little anchor to tie everything together. It would be nice to have that be something that's attractive for the people that are actually be living at the apartments there.
to
PDSD with them. We'll talk to PDSD, Ken. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thanks. Anyone else? We should probably move on, though, if not. Okay, and yeah, again, I'm, welcome. Go ahead.
This is Sandy.
Okay, go ahead.
Flood control, are you talking about Navajo, the street Navajo?
Oh, the Navajo Wash, which becomes Navajo Road, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks again, and welcome, Jorge, and we'll look forward to your update next month.
Thank you.
Let's move on to item 7. Commission, subcommittee, other committee, and council commission status reports. 7A is plans review subcommittee, and I don't have a report, and Ms. Brown is not here unless, do you have any report, Michael?
No, Madam Chair, just plans review subcommittee is tomorrow. One of the items we have is a project from the county, which Linda and the team talked about. And maybe I can just mention there is a project in Air Presidio at 261 to 265 North Main Avenue. They have a porch there which is going to be demolished. And this Tucson code requires that if the building official determines that something for the health and safety of the population is dangerous, then it can be demolished. That determination has been done on that porch. And a demolition permit is going to be issued very shortly. We have proceeded to inform the chairs of the co-chairs of Air Presidio, the chair of this commission, and we also informed the State Historic Preservation Officer about that. The State Historic Preservation Officer is okay with the demolition, but just requested that during the review, which is going to go to plans review, they should make sure that the standards are followed appropriately. That project is not yet coming to plans review now. It will go to Air Presidio and then it will come to plans review subcommittee. We just thought that you should be know that as a heads up.
Right,
that is
you,
all
Michael.
The update I have on that.
Okay, and from what I understand, when SHPO emailed back and I was copied on that, and Jody reassured that the porch will be rebuilt, you know, it will basically be restored. And this is not the first time this has happened. It's not like it's going to remain off rep forever. Isn't that correct, Michael?
That's correct, Madam Chair.
Yeah. Okay.
We don't yet Thank have you. The design as to what the applicant is going to do, but it will be restored. And during the review process, you will see the design that they propose.
Right, and we also have pictures that were shared, which is helpful, and that will be helpful for plans review. So, okay, thank you. Any questions for Michael? Okay, let's move on to item 7B then, which is Downtown Neighborhoods and Residents Council, and Commissioner Haggard is not in attendance, so there'll be no report. Item 7C is Historic Landscape Subcommittee. Commissioner Grady?
So there's nothing to report at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Item 7D, Transportation Subcommittee, Commissioner Lozano.
Thanks. Let's see. I'll skip a couple of items and go to RTA. So I wanted to report that we were exploring having TPCHC have a seat on the RTA's Citizens Advisory Committee, and I reached out to my favorite transportation expert who advises Supervisor Matt Hines, and she's also the co-founder of Living Streets Alliance, and she said that she believes that it's actually probably too late to have any effect on the current RTA program. But the good news is that RTA Next may not have any of the really big 1950s style aggressive construction projects.
Yeah, you're. Can't hear you. Yeah, go ahead.
But let's see, did you need me to repeat anything?
Well, you said, the last I heard was they wouldn't have the aggressive project, so whatever you said after that.
Okay, yeah, so that was the good news, and that, so we might not even have to have a seat on there, but that is something we can look towards. And so I think we'll, but then she also did recommend that we continue making recommendations at the project level, which we have been doing and we will continue to do. And then I also thought that another way to have influence with the RTA would be to continue having close contact with Ward 6, Steve Kay, because he's very interested in what RTA is doing. So I'm going to reach out to him and make sure that if RTA Next does envision any big construction projects, we can be involved in input on that. So, and then also under RTA, I'm still in contact with the Grant Road Coalition and reaching out to the individual neighborhoods to see if, to see what we might be able to do there as far as saving any of the buildings. They're very pleased with the green space that they are putting in after a lot of the buildings are demolished, and so they like that. And so I'm not going to fight them on that because it's going to be hard. It would be hard enough to save buildings there anyway, and if the neighborhoods are not behind us, then it would be nearly impossible. So I'll keep in touch on that. Also, speaking about Grant Road, Ward 3 and Ward 6 have begun to discuss the overlay for one of the sections. And this is very early in the process, but the good news is that they are not going to try to make a one-size-fits-all overlay. They realize that Grant Road changes significantly from block to block, and so that's already some good news on that. And then moving on, so I don't know if you guys know, but one of our items in Transportation Subcommittee has always been working on best practices for historic preservation, specifically related to transportation projects. And the list that we've developed is all very common sense recommendations that are obvious to preservationists and also obvious to most planners, but maybe not so obvious to engineers. And these are recommendations that can be applied to local, state, or federal projects. And this month, the Pima Association of Governments is soliciting comments on the RTA, and also ADOT is soliciting comments on its 2050 long-range plan. So I would like to make a motion that TPCHC submit written comments to both PAG regarding RTA and ADOT regarding their long-range plan. And these comments would be in the form of letters that would basically outline some of our recommended historic preservation best practices. So to clarify, that would be two letters that are nearly identical in content.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second. I'll second.
That was Ken? Okay. Thank you. Is there a discussion? If not, could we... Amari, could you call roll quickly, please?
Alice Sandagi? You have to dial *6 to unmute yourself. Alice Sandagi?
Aye.
Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Carol Griffin?
Aye.
Jeffrey Alwan?
Aye.
Jen Mulder?
Aye.
Jennifer Lustig?
Aye.
JJ Lamb?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Aye.
Ken Scoville?
Aye.
Ricky Riojas?
Aye.
Ricky Riojas?
Do She just said aye.
Sandy Brooke?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Stephen Greedy?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Helen Erickson was skipped, and I vote aye.
If you miss one.
My apologies.
Anyone else missed?
No, and it passes 15-0 if you have the same.
Yeah, I do. Thank you. Okay, and Carlos, you will get information to me when you have it ready.
Yeah, that'll be actually next Wednesday after our subcommittee meets again.
Perfect. Okay.
I'll skip one more item, but then I have one more item. Regarding, so remember back in 2021, the commission wrote a letter commending Pima Community College for acquiring and planning a restoration of three historic motels on Drachman. And then also more recently, we announced a big celebration of the relighting ceremony for the Tucson Inn neon sign. Well, this week, we heard that some of the new members of the PCC governing board may be reconsidering that whole restoration project and adaptive reuse of the motels, and they may actually want to demolish the motels. So through a follow-up to our letter, and it was addressed to the chancellor and the board, and strongly encouraging them to continue with their original plan of restoration and adaptive reuse. They have a meeting later today where they may or may not discuss it. It's not specifically agendized. And then we know that there will be an official study session on the 24th. So we're going to, maybe one of us may actually attend the study session or at least review the video of the study session to find out more about that. I don't know what else we can do except for we do know that we got a response to our letter from one board member who was not familiar with this. So we could supply the board with some of the really attractive materials that have been researched on this project. For instance, we know that Damian Klinko submitted some really attractive proposals on this. Whether we want to make sure that the board has access to those things and that those materials are not either forgotten or thrown away or suppressed. And I know I've done my own research. I know that probably Ken Scoville's done research too. But I was just sort of announcing that, and that's pretty much all I have on my report.
Yeah, Ken, before I call on you, I just want to say that I was really heartened that yesterday evening the person at Pima who handles the Board of Governors correspondence, she responded to me right away and said that we didn't have some of the correct emails, and she provided those on to everybody, and that's when we heard from the board member who's new to the board, but he was very open to us providing materials, presenting, so this is a great inroad, Carlos. And I'm going to suggest that, I mean, you've all seen the letter that we wrote as a follow-up, and it really says much of what the December 21 letter said, I believe, Carlos, with a few extra things, but I don't really, unless someone on the commission objects and wants a motion retroactively approving that letter, let's move on. So if anyone does, just speak up, but we have two other people. We can come back to that. Helen or Ken, do you have anything on this matter?
Yes, I do. Helen, you want to go first? I'll go on first. Okay. I also received an email from the interested board member, and I responded that I would be happy to do a PowerPoint talk about the history of the corridor and the context for the motels, and also that I would be happy to do a, a, on-site tour of some of the motels that have been adaptively reused so they could get some ideas visually of what's been done on the eastern end with western end with Ghost Ranch Lodge, Monterey Court, and those.
Right, so that sounds great.
I'm thinking very positive. So I just wanted to tell the commission.
Yeah, please coordinate with Carlos so that we have a coordinated message from the commission and so forth. But that's just what we need because to educate the new board members to alternative possibilities. Thank you. Helen, quickly, do you have something?
My question is, Terry, do you recommend that we pass a motion on this or do you think we're fine?
I think we're fine because it's not a new action. It's just a, hey, you know, following up on that other letter. So unless anyone strongly wants to do that, I'd rather keep our time going on these other matters that we have. Is that okay, Helen?
That's fine. I just wanted to clarify that.
Okay. Carol, did you have your hand up? I think you're on mute.
Yes, and Helen, I had the same question, whether we needed a motion. So it's been answered. We can move on. Thank you.
And, all right, any other questions for Carlos? Okay. If not, let's move on to item E, and that's the award subcommittee. I mentioned that under item 5. And I don't think we'll see if we need to do anything for the awards committee after item 10, I believe it is. Okay. Item 7F is Commission on Equitable Housing and Development. Commissioner McDonald, do you have an update for us?
They actually are meeting this week instead of last week, so because that's tomorrow, because it falls on Thursday, I'll have to update you next time.
Thank you very much. Okay, item 8 is update on District 5 Oral History Project. Commissioner Scoville?
I don't have any updates this time.
Okay.
This is Ricky. I have updates.
Okay, go ahead.
So I'm working with Samantha as well as Samantha Neville from District 5, and Catherine from Borderlands. I went and I helped out with their District 5 Youth Project and I recorded oral histories for that. For Borderlands, they have their new West Side Stories project coming up. And so Catherine is going to try to get some histories there from the community. And then Samantha's also going to be there one day recording histories. I think she's going to be there on the 30th. It's like one of the last ones. One of the last ones that West Side Story is going to have. That's an update on that. But she's hoping to post. Oh, we do have, and I can send this out to commissioners. We do have a general timeline for what she wants to do each month. We're just trying to help her fill out the types of people she should interview for that because we're trying to highlight stories that haven't been told already within the community, like people who haven't gotten to speak and have their story in public yet.
Great. Thank you. Oh, Ken, did you have something else, or is your hand just still up?
No, I don't. It's for Ricky. I would appreciate you forwarding this and keeping me posted on this. That I'm still interested in wanting to know what's going on. I'm glad that she's pursuing these things, and hopefully I was able to give her a little guidance along the way. But please forward it and keep me posted.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ken. Amari, it says there's one person with new activity. I guess it went down. Whatever it is there a new person that joined or?
No, it was just Ken's hand up that I saw.
Okay, cool. Okay, thank you. All right, let's move on to item 9, which is update on city outreach to property owners in historic districts regarding potential impacts of code changes. Now, Helen, do we want to see if Michael has an update on that or before you continue or?
I think this should be a continuing item just because it's something we're going to have to work out with the city. I do know that at the city council meeting, that Corin basically said that the city would support this and organize it, but with our contribution. So let's just keep it here until we can talk to people about that.
Okay. Michael, did you have anything on that?
No, Madam Chair. I think this what we have going at PDSD is consistent with what Ellen just said.
Perfect. Okay, thank you. Okay, so let's did you have anything else, Ellen, or can I move on?
No, that's it.
Okay, great. Item 10 is update on nominations for Elizabeth Ruffner Keystone Award for Community Leadership. And I think our goal was today to decide on a person and then have someone work on that nomination. I sent you out an email several days ago about this, maybe over the weekend, because the second piece to this, we also need to recommend potential local folks who might be able to design a lovely award. Apparently they do different types of awards. There's not just one award that you fill in. It's, you know, something really special for that person. And so I had asked for people to present their nominations, and then I think we'll have to have a vote on it so that we can get moving on this, because JJ, you are on the planning committee. Do you know any more about this right now? About the time frame?
You know, I had forwarded you, you know, some images of past awards and, you know, then some additional information. So, you know, beyond that, no.
Okay. And remember Jody's guidance from last time that this person not be a professional historic preservationist, but basically a community person that mm-hmm. is making things happen. So I'm willing to entertain. What I'd like to do is get several names whatever we have, and then we're going to need to take a vote on it. And that'll be complex, but Amari, I think we can, we can do the roll call, and then people can say who they vote for. So that's the only thing I can think of doing, unless you have a better idea. So let's see, we've got several names. Let's just start with, and someone else sent, Ricky, you had sent, was it Ricky that sent? Who was it that sent me an email about a name? Was it Helen?
Yes, I nominate Betty Villegas, and she is someone who has worked in housing for a long time in Tucson, but she also has done a great deal in historic preservation. She is one of the founders of Latinos in Heritage Conservation. She has worked with Los Descendientes. She has established the Mexican American Museum, and I feel that it'd be hard to find anybody who could surpass her in terms of work that is not directly related to her career, which is housing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, this is JJ, and I have to say I absolutely agree with everything that Helen has said.
Okay, so Betty would also be your nomination? Okay. Carlos, what would you like to present?
If I could make another nomination, not that I'm disagreeing with the one that's already been made, but last month I nominated Sandy Chan, who has worked tirelessly as a volunteer to document the Chinese American community in Tucson and She helps the Chinese Cultural Center with that, and she's also a genealogist and does a lot of that on a volunteer basis, helping countless families work on their genealogy. And then I believe her background is in library science, and I met her in the archives of at the Historical Society. And so I wanted to throw that name in the hat, too.
Okay.
That's also a great nomination. And she did retire as a librarian
from Pima Community College after 25 years.
Okay, Helen?
Is it possible? I mean, both of these women are clearly worthy of this award. Is it possible to award it to both of them? Do we have to have a single person?
I assume I have never seen, I mean, the award is relatively new. I don't really know. I mean, I don't know if we have time to wait until the next meeting. Does anyone have any idea on the timeline?
You know what? I can find out.
Ian, do you know? Your hand's up.
Yeah, so the issue is the construction of the award. So the longer you wait, I know Catherine was very, we had a meeting yesterday. She's very eager to get this process started. So if you delay a month, it's just another month that when we contract the artist to develop the award, it's just another month off of their timeline. That's the only hindrance on it.
Yeah, and the meeting's in October, correct?
Correct. It's the last week of October.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your, could JJ or Ian find out if we could have two nominees I don't think we probably can because of, you know, these awards are pretty, the construction of the award is quite expensive, I'm sure.
Correct. So, my understanding is that it is there's a top awardee, there's one.
Yeah. So I think, you know, it's a hard choice, but it always is when there's so many really good people to do this. So I think, unfortunately, we're going to have to move ahead and people will just have to vote their heart on this, I guess.
Wow.
Carrie?
Yes.
This
is Sandy. Can you repeat the names?
I will do that. So,
excuse me, Carrie, this is Alice. I have to leave. I have to leave the meeting now.
Okay, so it's 12:58. Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie, I also have to leave, but we realized that I started the recording on my computer, so Anna J is going to stay on under my name because this is where the recording is.
Okay.
But I'm going to leave, and Anna J is going to stay on under my name.
Okay, thanks, Amari.
Thank you. Have a good one, guys.
Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to mention that the people that whoever is chosen, the people that nominated them are going to have to work with me and or the awards committee. We're not going to put this nomination together. Okay? So is that understood? Okay. Alrighty, so Anna, I think what we need to do is we have two nominees. We have Betty Viegas and we have Sandy Chan. And I think that you call roll and people will need to say who they choose, unless you can think of a better way to do it. Okay, do you want to go ahead and begin? You're on mute, Amar. Anna, you're on mute. There you go.
Sorry about that. Okay, so I'm going to call for Betty Viegas first.
Well, or do you think we should just... Wait. You think we should just call the names and people say who they vote for? I think that's easier. And then tally up the number. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, would it be possible, maybe Helen and Carlos could say again for everyone, you know, why they've nominated.
Okay, that's fine. So who wants to speak up for Betty?
I will speak for Betty. Betty Viegas is a longtime resident of city. She worked for Pima County. She is a housing expert. That has been her career her whole life. And what she has accomplished in terms of historic preservation is her work with Los Descendientes, the creation of the Mexican-American Heritage Museum, at the TCC, and she was one of the founding members of Latinos and Heritage Conservation, which is now a national organization. And that's why I would recommend her.
Okay, and Carlos, do you want to speak up for Sandy Chan?
Yeah, pretty much just the same thing. As far as I said before, working tirelessly with the community as a volunteer, especially one of her specialties is the Chinese American community in Tucson and railroad workers, and then also she's an expert in genealogy. She's given lots of presentations on helping the public do their own genealogy, and she's helped people with that. And then and again, also worked a long time, decades with the Historical Society in the archive, library and archives. And yeah, that's basically it.
Okay. And one thing we could do is, you know, whoever doesn't get the award, if we ever get the awards program started again, we could actually, you know, consider them for one of the top awards. So Anna, what I'd like to do is just call roll, and then we'll put the person's name under whoever they choose. Does that make sense? And then we'll be sure we're on the same page. Okay, go ahead and start calling roll, please.
Alice Sandagi?
Yeah, she left at 12:58.
Okay. Oh, yes, she did. Carlos Lozano?
So that would be Sandy Chan.
Okay. Carol Griffith?
This is a tough decision, but I'm going to vote for Sandy Chan.
Jeffrey Outland?
I'm going to vote for Betty.
Helen Erickson?
I vote for Betty.
Jen Mulder?
Betty Villegas.
Jennifer Lipstick.
Since Betty does get recognized for lots of her other contributions, I'm going to go with Sandy.
J.J. Lamb.
Wow, this is really, really hard. I would like to vote for both. I'm going to vote for Sandy.
Joe Ireland.
Sandy.
Okay. Ken Scoville.
Yeah, another difficult one. I'm going to go with Sandy.
Okay, Peter Steerbutter. Ricky Riojas.
I'm going to go with Sandy as well.
Sandy Brook.
I think I don't know how to make a choice, but I'm going with Sandy Chan.
Savannah McDonald?
Betty.
Stephen Grady?
Betty Villegas, please.
Carrie Majewski?
Betty Villegas.
Kim Haggard is
not in attendance. So okay. I have 8 for Sandy Chan and 6 for Betty Villegas. Is that what you have?
Yes, correct.
Okay, so I want to ask Ian. Ian, are you still on?
Yes, I am. Sorry.
So right now, this is our nomination that we have to write. I mean, this is our choice that we have to write up. So I don't believe that, I mean, Sandy is notified at this time, correct? I don't think so. I think
no.
Because we have
no,
to come
no,
up.
No, no, no. So it's nominated and then the committee will review it.
Uh-huh.
But they defer to the local jurisdiction to select the best candidate.
Yeah, and it's a surprise.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think we need to wait until the nomination is complete, and I really think that the nomination needs to be completed within a month. Carlos, can you work on that?
Sure can, yeah. And the form was included in your email from like a week ago, right?
Well, it's not really a form. It's just examples because it's, I think basically it's those types of bullet points that, I mean, Ian, unless you and JJ can advise us anymore. Like,
So it's typically not formatted. It allows the flexibility to highlight the, and showcase the candidates, you know, contributions. And then there, hopefully there's some photos of themselves with, in terms of the work products that they've created. Because it's actually one of the most prestigious of the awards that's given. And it, and so it's meant to be as comprehensive as you'd like it to be.
Okay.
Great. Okay. I can do that.
And yeah, this is JJ. I have some information that I'll pass along as well.
Yeah, and if anyone has information to pass along to Carlos, and we can, Ian, if we can get your take on things as they develop, if we have questions.
Of course.
And, yeah. And also, commissioners, please think about if there's anyone that might be appropriate to create the award for her. You know, so, and you know, we may need some guidance on that because some of them were basically, there weren't very many words. They were just really cool things that somehow.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So happy to assist in any way.
Yeah. All right. We do have photographs of all of the awards.
Yeah. Hold. Yes. Who's speaking?
Sandy.
Okay. Sandy, what did you have?
I wondered if the artist who created the amazing five person I'm sorry. What is it, Rob?
Support stats.
Say it again.
Support stats on Grant Road.
Did you hear that?
No. It was the statue on Grant Road?
Yeah.
Does anyone know what she's... Go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
But sometimes sculptors don't do, you know, that's a name that let's keep under. JJ, do you know that person's name?
I can find it out.
Let's keep a list going because I don't think we need to have, we need to be developing that list, but we don't, you know, we need to deal with getting the award written, the nomination written first. So anyway, thank you. I know this was a really difficult thing and, you know, both wonderful candidates. So thank you. Okay. So we're going to move on to, yes, we're going to move on to item 11, which is Plan Tucson update. Now, neither Jody nor Corin could be on today. Helen, do you have anything on this right now?
No, we have not met since the previous meeting.
Okay, and Michael, did you have anything on the Plan Tucson update?
There is no update per se, Madam Chair, but Plan Tucson team is continuing with public outreach at this point in time. As soon as we get more information, we will come back to you with it.
Okay. Okay, great. Okay, let's look at item 12, which is commission representative to Pima Prospers. Now, JJ, we were looking to get you involved, mm-hmm. and you had emailed, and maybe the county reps can help us with this. So I had suggested to JJ that she contact someone. She did, and they were not very welcoming.
Yeah, so as a citizen of Vail, I will be involved, but I had asked more specifically about being a representative from the commission, and we didn't get a response to. I mean, I can reach out again, but.
Well, he said that he would be reaching out to the community, but he didn't even seem warm to the idea at all. I mean, Linda, do you know any more about this?
I don't know who you spoke with.
Tom Drzewski?
Drzewski?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I have a hard time with his name.
All right. There's another individual who's sort of heading up the effort that I have at least emailed with, and he said there is a possibility, and I asked in what capacity, you know, would a representative from this commission or any other commission for that matter serve. Uh-huh. And so he hasn't gotten back to me, but we're very, very early in all of this. So just so you know, and it's not going to be contracted out to a consultant like has been done in the past. It's just for budget issues and everything. Any updates will be in-house. So we have the existing Pima Prospers is online. It's our comprehensive plan, much like the city's, that does not have to go to the voters. Ours is just adopted. So we can certainly, you know, share that with you, and I'm happy to get back with you. So I just need to know how that is going to be structured.
Okay, so if we could just leave it, Linda, that you could, if it's early in the game, we don't need to act on this now. You can keep contacting that person, right?
Yeah, I will. Typically, okay. There are some sort of advisory groups that are involved, or at least, you know, who help vet issues. But again, they're just starting the process, so I will be back in touch on this.
Yeah, and then we can figure out the best way for the commission to give feedback, because I think in the past we have in some capacity. We'll just figure that out. So is that okay with you, JJ?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that sounds great.
And I'll keep that on, and I'll put you and Linda on for the next item, next month, if that works.
Sure.
Okay? All right, item 13 then is update and discussion on process and progress of commission separation. We'll start with 13A, City of Tucson. Jody and Corn aren't here. Do you have an update on this, Michael?
Yes, Madam Chair. The city has had initial meeting with the county, and I believe Linda will talk about this, when discussion with this county as to the next step. We do not yet know when we are going to go to mayor and council. We have just had preliminary discussion, and that is where we are at this point in time. There's no date yet fixed for mayor and council meeting. But in the meantime, we are still just doing business as we used to do in the past. The advisory boards are still reviewing projects. Plans review subcommittee is still reviewing projects. And so nothing has actually changed from what used to be. We don't yet know the date to go to mayor and council. That is all the update I have for you right now. And I think Linda can speak also to that effect.
Okay. And Michael, one thing you can pass on to Jody and Corin is that as we've been discussing for well over a year now, we would like to know what you guys are going to recommend, and not just be said like, hey, it's on the agenda for tomorrow's mayor and council meeting, or something like that. We really wanted to have a study session with the commission and understand if you make a recommendation that gives us severe heartburn.
Okay. We'll do, okay? Madam Chair.
Thank you. But we've mentioned that repeatedly before. So, okay. So before we go on to Linda, let's go on to A2, which is an update on the study on the history of the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission and the Historic Zone Advisory Boards. And this is Commissioners Erickson and Scoville. So who will start?
And this is Helen. We intend to have a draft report on our work ready for discussion at the May meeting, which we'll mention again for updates for the agenda. And we'd like to acknowledge, Linda, especially apologies, for the fact that the majority of our work to this point has focused on Tucson rather than Pima County and South Tucson. We intend to look more closely at these jurisdictions after we complete our first stage draft. It turns out this study is larger than anyone could have expected. One item that surfaced recently is time sensitive, which is why Commissioner Scoville and I are bringing part of the report to you early. This is the issue of commission funding, which, as you know, was swept during COVID. Lack of funding has made it impossible to carry out our responsibilities in education, awards, and events. We need to have this funding restored, and we need to consider what we've lost with those three areas without the funding. First, awards have been an important aspect of commission work since the creation of Elaine and Paul Smith Award. We do not want to see this important outreach permanently discontinued. Second, the State Historic Preservation Conference will be held in Tucson this fall, providing an ideal opportunity for commission training. That was also interrupted by COVID. The lack of training for commissioners also was one of the comments included in the Baker Report. Third, we are coming up on two major anniversaries for which the Commission is required by law to take responsibility, the 250th anniversary of the founding of Tucson in 1775 and the Declaration of Independence in 1776. I think you can understand that both of these events require some deep thinking and analysis as well as event planning. The point is, we're not simply begging. The requirement for commission funding is written into the Tucson City Code, along with the description of our duties as a commission as a whole. We'll present more information on the latter issue next month, but because we are now in the budget season for next year, we need to act in a timely manner. This is what the code says in Chapter 10A, Section 2, Commission Expenses and Expenditures. A. All expenses of the commission shall be paid from such funds as may be appropriated by the county, city, and town from time to time for such purposes. B. The city shall pay 50% of the expenses of the commission, and the county is expected to pay the other 50%. I put that in parentheses because that's not in the Tucson City Code. That's elsewhere. And then, on or before March 1st of each year, the commission shall submit to the governing bodies of the county, city, and town a detailed budget requesting funds for the next fiscal year, commencing on July 1. The rest of the section deals with expense reporting and the role of the city clerk in providing administrative assistance for the budget process. We are late in our submission, but I think the city must bear responsibility for this. Commissioner Majewski tells me that she received no notification from the city clerk to submit a budget. Given our financial needs for the coming years, I would like to make a recommendation that the commission write to mayor and council, the city clerk, the city manager, or other appropriate entities as may be determined, and to the Board of Supervisors and other appropriate officials in Pima County to request that our funding be reinstated according to the direction given in Chapter 10A, Section 2 of the City Code.
So, Helen, are you making that a motion?
That is a motion.
Okay. This is Ricky. I'll second.
Helen and Ricky, now we have discussion. Who would like to discuss?
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I am agreeance with sending the letter, but is there any way we could have like a representative at their meetings? Because I know we send a lot of letters, and I also just worry about them not reading our letters. And I think if we're at the meeting and we're saying, here, we sent you this, did you read it? Like, we need to have funding for these upcoming events, and it would be a lot harder to ignore us. Is that something that we would be able to do?
Well, I think what we can do is, when Helen and I discussed this yesterday, I think her motion is clear enough that we need to figure out who the best people are. And we've been very lucky because Steve Kay has brought some issues. You know, I suggested to Helen that actually someone ask, you know, what's going on with this? Because we were told by the city clerk's office that they were not supporting, and when they swept the funds, we've never heard from them again, you know, even though, and when I asked for support at the Presidio event that the commission co-sponsors, they said it will no longer be staffed by people from the city clerk's office. So we need to learn what's going on. Are other commissions being treated in the same way, especially when it's in code that support will be given? And this is nothing against Amari or Anna. They simply operate on what their managers tell them to do. So I think we do need to reach out and write letters and things like that. But I think this is going to be a process, I'm afraid. And I think that we could present at a meeting, but we could also have a great advocate like Steve Kay to start asking the questions. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ken, quickly.
Sure. I was just going to add that a lot of this, and I think all of us have been doing this research, it's just an education process of realizing the codes are saying this. It isn't just maybe. I mean, this is in code language. So I think the powers to be farther up just need to be aware of what the situation is. And I think that's just an ongoing education process similar to what we've been doing as researchers.
Yeah, and Ken, we talked about that, Helen and I, and part of it could be that there's some other provision in code that if the city has to cut expenses, they have leeway to do these things. So we don't fully know. So, okay, so Steve, real quickly.
I apologize, but I have to go. I do vote yes if that motion goes forward, but I have to go. I have students
waiting. That's okay. So go ahead and I think we still have a quorum. So you're off at, I've got 1:22. Steve left, right? Hold on, Helen. Are we still good on a quorum, Anna?
Yes, I can take one if you like.
No, I think we're fine, if you think we're fine. Because we had 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. We're down to 13. Okay, so Helen,
Kelly.
I interrupted you.
Very quickly wanted to ask Linda, who would be the appropriate person to direct this letter to in the county? Because we haven't really researched that.
Well, let me just make a comment. We renewed our intergovernmental agreement with the city several years ago, and it had actually gotten lost in the procurement system. And in any case, it was renewed. And I don't have it in front of me, but we have agreed that it would come out of my budget, that there is about $7,000 the budget that would go to the commission for operations and administration. It can't be used to re-gift to property owners, you know, to do condition assessments or anything like that. But it can go toward the boards and commissions office. It can go toward things like the award ceremony, that sort of thing. What I am unclear about is the clause you represented, and this may have to just go to our respective attorneys, is that the city's agreeing to pay half and then the county's agreeing to pay half. So if one entity isn't paying their half, does the other entity have to pay their half? So I'm just putting that out there because I think this has to be, reviewed in that context. So currently, I think if the city, I'm just going to say, if there was a, and depending on how it's worded in the IGA, there's $7,000 out of my budget that would go to the commission's operations and administration.
Thank you.
Wait
Carrie.
A second. We had Ricky and Joel had their hands up, and then I'll call on you, Sandy. Okay, Ricky.
Thank you.
Joel was first if he wants to go.
Go ahead, Joel.
Oh, thank you. The budget that got swept, I just don't know how much was it?
Well, it was quite a bit years ago, and then it came down to, I think it was 7 to 8 from each entity, and then I think the county backed out, and then we made do on a shoestring with like about $8,000 from the city for a while. And, and this did cover, awards, events, and also we had, a mini grant program. And Linda, I thought it was only that you couldn't do anything. We never awarded for people to do any kind of repairs on their homes. It was all like somebody wanted to have pay the permission fees for historical photos to write a book or something like that. So are you saying that none of the mini grant opportunities, but you could use county funds for supporting the Presidio ceremony or the awards?
The money can't be gifted to private property owners. It can be used for the official business of the commission. And that would include awards. That could include awards and, you know, other operating costs.
So my question.
Not subsidies to a private applicant that wanted to do research on something and needed to pay fees for.
Correct. We can't do that.
Okay. But the city never said that was an issue, so we'd have to find out. Okay. So, Joel?
My question, that was a preliminary question. My question is that when we write this letter, which I'm for doing, we should be very clear on what we're asking, the amount, and obviously to answer this question about where we might get funds if we want to make specific kind of awards, as we've been discussing, like to property owners, et cetera. Just be clear on the amount, et cetera. And I'd like to know what that is when we vote on the motion. Thank you.
Well, we don't know what the amount is. We'd have to go back to previous budget requests and what we did. And I think this is sort of premature. I think we should vote on it. And then, Helen, I think you need to talk to Steve Kay and see if we can get an extension, because this isn't something I can put together in a day. I'm sorry, I just can't.
Joel, I think the point here is that we need to fund events, education, and award ceremony. You know, these are pretty, pretty standard things that we've done in the past. And it would be unfortunate if we missed our opportunity, for example, in the fall, to have a commissioner training as part of the Arizona State Historic Preservation Conference.
I'm wondering about the amount and whether I still think we should ask for a specific amount, even if we don't have all those questions. But okay, that's just, I'm going to vote for it. So yeah.
If we know what Linda can give, then I think that basically, if it's 50-50 in the code, that's what we have to ask for. You know, and Linda, could your, the money from the county fund people to attend the conference? Or is education not covered?
Well, I think, if we're hiring, if you're the, there's a group that did the training in past years, pre-COVID, you know, for example. So I don't know the answers to all of these questions. I think that's where the request for a budget, it by March 1st, roughly, in the city code, that would also, assist, I think, all of us in deciding or running it by our attorneys and just saying what can be paid for here.
And how we could word it and maybe have the city do some and the county do, you know, certain things. In the past, we've done that. We've put certain things on the city and county. I tell you what, it took me more administration to do this than it does for my multi-million-dollar contracts in the private sector. It was, you know, I took the training from the county and then they pulled it back. And we had it down like a dream, and then it all got swept. So I think we need to vote on this motion so that we can move forward on writing and getting this moving. So did we have, let's see, we had Helen move and Ricky second. Okay. Can we go ahead and call roll, please, Donna? Because we've got it. We're going to lose everybody if we don't get off soon. And I have another work meeting at 2:00.
Okay. Alice Sandoggi?
She's not here.
Okay. Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Carol Griffith? Carol?
Aye.
Jeffrey Alwan?
Aye.
Carolyn Erickson?
Aye.
Jen Mulder?
Aye.
Jennifer Listick?
Aye.
J.J. Lamb?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Yes.
Kevin Scoville?
Aye.
Ricky Riojas?
Aye.
Sandy Brook?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Stephen Grady? Stephen Lefty. Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Okay.
At 13. Four, is that right? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
13.
13. Okay, thank you. Okay, thanks, everyone. Did you have anything else, Helen? Are you good, Helen?
I think that's enough for one day.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's move on then to item 13B. Yes?
Terry, one moment. I wanted to thank Helen for the work she's done on this, because it's pretty important.
Oh, it is, and it's been really extensive, and Ken as well. So
yes. Okay, okay, I'm going. I'm muting.
Okay, all right. 13B, Pima County update. Linda? I think you're on mute.
Okay, like Michael said, we met for about a half hour with Jody and Corin in the city manager's office and one of our deputy county administrators, just to discuss in general the issues. There are no real recommendations at this point in time. We discussed things like, projects the county was going to be bringing to PRS and why they weren't being brought forward. Well, they're just not ready. Two are now, but the others were not, in terms of, and these are courtesy reviews. We have very few zoned historic properties, as you know. And then there was the question of some of the subcommittees and whether county staff could assist in some capacity. And that's basically where we left it. And so we're going to be meeting again, but I don't have a date. I think the city will be bringing some information to mayor and council, but as I understand what Michael said, there's no date set.
Okay. Who had their hand up from the commission? Ken?
Yes. Real quick for Linda. Is there any sort of consensus in the county as far as the county's position about the both, the commission stay united and not be divided? Is there any final position, something from the county on that?
That will be up to the Board of Supervisors, Ken. I think that, once the city gets some direction from the mayor and council, we will be bringing that information to our Board of Supervisors and going forward there. What I think personally doesn't matter in this case. It's really up to the elected officials.
Okay, that would be a big help. We got over that first hurdle. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thanks, everyone. All right, let's move on then to item 14. That's Tucson's birthplace, Tucson Origins Park, historic landmark status. Neither Jody, Commissioner Steer, or Commissioner Sadangi are on, so unless someone has an update on it, we'll just have no report. Okay, item 15 is update on archaeological site damage at the border, and this should have been Commissioner Steer, but he's not in attendance, so no report. Item 16 is Commissioner's summary of current events. Who would like to report anything? Ricky?
Real quick, so the Mexican American History Museum is going to close at least through the end of October, by the end of May, so we're trying to get some stuff wrapped up there.
Thank you. Ken?
I just was just again and commend everybody involved out at Fort Lowell. I think the 150th anniversary event went wonderful and surprisingly well attended, given that the Fort Lowell has had such a low profile lately. And if you have time at all, I encourage everybody to drive by and look at the adobe work that's gone on over the concrete construction of the 1963 officer's quarters. I think the work is very, very well done and a really good effort. So I just want to have people stop by and take a look at it. It's really good.
Great. Thank you both. Anyone else? JJ?
I'd just like to invite everyone, if you have time, to come out on April 24th in the afternoon, 3:30 to 6, for the groundbreaking celebration for the Oldville Post Office project. We're finally going to get started.
JJ, you had sent me that invitation. Mm-hmm. Did you want me to send it to all commissioners? I can easily do that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that'd be great. Yeah. And actually, I'll resend you. We have a brand new flyer that's a little snazzier looking. So
okay.
I'll email you that.
Okay. And Anna, do you want me to send that to you? Sometimes it's hard for you to forward stuff though. Like with the actual graphic that's needed.
No, you can go ahead and send it to me. I'll get it out.
Okay, I'll send it. Yeah, and when I send stuff out, I always do it blind CC. So it's So send me that, JJ. I'll look at it and then I'll forward it along.
Okay
Linda.
Yes, an announcement. The Santa Cruz Valley National Heritage Area is having a celebration in Tubac this weekend on Saturday from 2 to 4. Thanking Congressman Grijalva. Unfortunately, he's not going to be able to be there, but Chair Adelita Grijalva will be there, as well as Chair Bruce Bracker, tribal representatives, and others. And this is to acknowledge the congressman's support over 20 years for this to be actually finalized by the Department of Interior, National Park Service, and our management plan was finally accepted. I'm on the board of the Alliance, and the two counties are working together, obviously, in support of this. So I just wanted to make that announcement. There'll be other booths and vendors and others there as well. So 2 to 4 and 2 back this Saturday.
Great. Linda, do you have a flyer on that or something that you could send to Anna?
I will, yes, a program. As soon as it's finished, I will send that.
That's really helpful. Okay, thanks so much. Anyone else? Okay, last call for announcements. Item 17 is call to the audience. Anna, did we receive any comments from the public by the deadline?
No, we did not.
Okay, Ian, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm actually putting my non-county hat on because I wanted to note that my daughter's a student at St. Michael's School over on Wilmot, and they're coming up on their 65th year anniversary. And I was floored that St. Michael's is not listed on the National Register because I think it's outstanding and one of Jostler's few churches. And so I have been working with the school and the vestry and gotten full permission to pursue a nomination that I'll be doing independently, but I'm doing it as an educational exercise and actually involving the students of the school in drafting that nomination, as well as some alumni, a recent graduate of NAU who's also an alumnus of St. Michael's. And so we will be forging ahead and hopefully getting that to you as we progress through the system. But we're really excited about the opportunity and just wanted to alert you all.
Okay, should I put that back under, we'll just say that you reported on behalf of the county, as did Linda or something. We'll do that under item 16.
I just didn't know if it was okay to commingle the hats, so I apologize.
No, that's totally fine. Yeah. Okay, let me just make a note here. Oh, this has been a full meeting. Okay, let's see. Item 18 is thoughts on inclusivity. Does anyone have a thought on inclusivity? No. Okay. Item 19 is schedule and future agenda items for upcoming meetings. I need all items emailed to me for consideration by April 28th to be considered for the May 10th agenda. I already have the report on 13A2, which was Helen's. But Helen, remind me again, you know, and let me know the progress on that, okay? You're on mute.
Yes, we are intending to provide a synopsis of our work as well as presenting a draft of the report for the next meeting.
Send me that so that I can be sure that we get it into the packet and word it properly.
Right. Well, it depends upon when the packet goes out, but we will definitely have it before we will have it before the next meeting, but we would like to do a synopsis presentation at the next meeting.
Yeah. So what happens is that I have to have stuff into Amari shortly after the deadline that I give you. So it's 2 weeks in advance of the meeting. She formats it, and then it doesn't get sent to everyone by a week out. Does that make sense? The agenda gets posted. It goes to commissioners about a week out. And then, Anna, we'd have to work. If they have a report, I'm not going to ask them to get it in when Amari needs things. I mean, I format the agenda. All she has to do is tweak it, you know? So, so the packet can be constructed. The packet doesn't go on the website, right? So it's just the agenda. So we can work together with Anna and Amari and we'll get that done. But minimally we need that synopsis because, you know, that will need to go in the packet and maybe a link to the, we'll figure it out. Okay. Anyone else have an agenda item right now? No? Okay. So before we adjourn, Anna, will you be able to get me the link to the meeting recording?
Yes, we will.
Oh, okay. I appreciate that. And then remind me when you do that, when you are going to need, when you'll be getting me the draft LAR and when I have to fill in the motions, because that'd be really helpful to me. So, okay. Thank you, everyone, for sticking it out. And we are adjourned at 1:41 p.m. Take care, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Yeah, everybody be safe.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Terry.